There is trouble in paradise. The government parties have fallen out with each other.
Now, we're only a year and a half in government.
In
terms of this arrangement.
There's constant charge against me. It's been because he has no case against us when it comes to
5 to 9.
My charge against him is he's obsessed with innuendo and conspiracy theories.
It's not good enough to just pass the buck. There is something rotten in the state of Denmark, and ultimately somebody has to bear responsibility.
Yeah, we're in the Houses of Parliament on national television.
Hello, and you're very welcome to this special edition of Your Politics podcast, where I'll be speaking to women in politics. Well, out of the 160 TDs in the Dáil, there are just 36 women compared to 124 men. So why are women so reluctant to enter into the profession? Well, to talk about this, I'm delighted to be joined today by the Green Party TD and Minister for Tourism, Sports, Arts, Culture and the Gaeltacht, Catherine Martin. Catherine, you're very welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much
for coming in today. Can I start by asking you, Catherine, what inspired you to go into politics? Is it true that it was the birth of your first child?
It is, yes. I think actually when I got elected, a lot of my friends from school days and college days would have been quite shocked because I came from a music background. I was a singer and then a teacher. But in 2007 when our child was born, I guess it was one of those life-changing moments where I just looked at Turlough and myself and my husband, you know, we were, I suppose, avid followers of politics and current affairs. But when we looked at him, it's just as a mother, I was like, what can I do to protect him? It was a different feeling altogether that overcame me. So decided to get involved in politics. And for me, I looked at all the political parties, and for me, the Green Party was the one. You know, it was talking about the sustainable future. And so I within a number of days, actually, we both joined the Green Party.
And what was it that you felt you had to protect your children from?
I just started thinking about his future. Rather than, I suppose, up until then, I'd been thinking in the present, and you know, and maybe thinking a few days ahead, or thinking about my own life and my husband's life. But when I looked at him, our firstborn baby in my arms, I was like, what's his future going to be like? And that brought in the greater context of, you know, the environment and equality, and then that's why I chose the Green Party.
Tell me about the first few years that you were elected to the Dáil. What was that like?
The Dáil, I guess, actually within the first few days, on the first day that I sat in the Dáil, I was caught up in the jubilation of this is the greatest amount of women who have ever been elected to Dáil Éireann. And I felt that, and I felt, oh gosh, it's a privilege, I'm one of these. But when I sat in the chamber on the first day and looked around me, you know, I was like, wow, there's an awful lot of men here. And where are the women? And I suppose to me, it was like that sea of suits, and here and there were spots of colour. And that's how you could see the women, just because they had more colour in them. And the first few weeks there was a long time before the Taoiseach was elected, and we were doing the walkthrough votes. And you walk up those steep steps, and that's where you'd really feel it, that you were surrounded by men. And I was like, something has to change here. You know, it's great that the numbers increased, but where's the 50-50? That is our population. And that's why I sought to set up the parliamentary caucus.
And there is a 50-50 split in your household, because as you said, your husband, Francis Noel Duffy, is also a Green Party TD. What do you talk about in the evenings? Is it all about politics?
It can be a lot about politics, which is a plus and a negative. But, you know, it's great to be married to someone who gets it and understands that, you know, when I finish my day at work, I still want to tune in and watch all the current affairs programmes. The first thing in the morning, I want to open the newspaper, and he's the same. I think our you know, it's great for our children, that they're seeing what mum does, dad does, what dad does, mum does. So there's really, really equality yeah. there. He's an artist, I'm a musician, so they see that as well. He was a teacher, I was a teacher, you know. So
and do you disagree on different issues?
Well, absolutely. And that was very evident during the programme for government. Yeah. We took different sides, and actually it was about 2 weeks into it when we were in the car, and suddenly the children realised and said, "Hold on, are you disagreeing over this?" And it's the first time they became involved in it. But
yes, because I think a lot of people were thinking that, you know, that you were on opposite sides during that debate on the programme for government. That must have been difficult.
No, it was difficult, but we have to separate that work life with our family life. And, you know, I've said before, like, Frances and I are so alike in ways, from that artistic background, loving politics, but also we're very different. And I always compare it to our musical tastes. I'm huge into the folk era, Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, Nick Drake, and he's into, you know, Depeche Mode, dance music. And I'm like, what are you listening to? And he'd be the same with me.
It's not just in politics
And at the time, I always remember the tweet when it was revealed that we were on different sides in relation to entry or to the programme for government. Someone tweeted, "Shock, horror, married couple disagree." And that really summed it up for me, because that's just life as a married couple. You don't agree exactly all the time, but you get on with it.
And you mentioned your children there. How have they reacted to your new life in the limelight, Catherine? Because you're a minister now.
Mm-hmm. I think on that first night when I came home, they stayed up really late. I think it was after midnight when I came home, and they were absolutely over the moon and really proud. But you know, it's actually difficult for them too, and I see it now, because life was busy as a TD, but as a minister, it's incredibly busy. And I took that on, and I knew I was taking that on. But, you know, I talk so much about doing this for my children, and sometimes, you know, it's hard because you're going, I'm doing this for you, but then you have to. I need time with you as well to be a mum, as well as what I'm doing in politics to for further future, you know.
And that's something that a lot of women talk about, mother's guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something you've experienced since you took over as a minister, and your job has gotten an awful lot busier?
Yes, absolutely. And taking a break this summer was very different to taking a break last summer as a TD. I could actually switch off, but I couldn't turn off the phone this time. And there were phone calls through our family break. And I know that the children were like, "Mum, you promised you wouldn't be on the phone." I'm like, "Well, I have to. I can't turn off the phone. I'm a government minister." So that's difficult. I find that hard. But it's up to me to find that balance. So weekends are pretty sacred. I try as for the family, but I try as much as possible to drop them to school, to be there in the morning and make their lunches. But I find that the nights are, I'm coming home later and later, just because I've a job of work to do.
Has there ever been a moment since you took over as minister that you thought, "Oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to continue with this"?
No. No, I'm up for it. But as I said, you know, it's about finding that balance and just making sure I'm always thinking family. But then, you know, I have a responsibility in very difficult times as a government minister too.
You've been a great advocate, Catherine, for women's rights since becoming a TD. You were part, as you said earlier, of the Oireachtas Women's Caucus. You even lobbied for women to be able to breastfeed in the Dáil.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel the situation has improved since you joined the Dáil in 2016?
Well, if you look at the stats, 1,341 people have been elected to the Dáil, and only 130 of those have been women. So
Why do you think this is quite incredible.
They say anecdotally that more men with the name John have been elected to Dáil Éireann than women. So there's something very wrong there. We're only gone up a tiny bit since 2016. Something has to change. I think of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. This week, what an advocate for women's rights. Where she said, "Women belong in all places where decisions are being made," and that's exactly what I think. Our voices, our experiences, our perspective need to be heard at the centre of power. So what is happening that it's, you know, that we have so few women getting involved? I think that family friendly, the lack of that family friendly style of politics. We can even see with this stall, the weekly divisions, the weekly votes have been moved to Wednesday night at 9:30. That doesn't help a parent say goodnight to their children. I thought it was a positive step in the last stall that the weekly votes were at 1:30, because that brings in a whole range of issues in relation to childcare, because you're not going to get out of the doll till 11. You can be sure, of course, there are times where there'll be late nights, but we're actually setting this in stone that every Wednesday, you won't get home until at least 11 o'clock. But I also think, as difficult as it is for me, and we need to think about parents in general, like dads as well. If you live outside Dublin, you're basically not seeing your children Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Now, the House of Commons brought in a great pilot scheme last year, the proxy vote. And that was for women, for mums, for those who've adopted, for those who had miscarriages. They trialled it for a year, then extended by another 6 months. And just in recent days, the committee, procedure committee, have decided to make that permanent. Mm. So they brought in that proxy vote to help women. I think it's also for to help with those who have to isolate
and
with
like
COVID.
I'd like to see that,
and I hope the caucus will pursue something like that to look across the waters and look what has been done there. Also, Stella Creasy really brought the maternity leave issue to the fore last year, and she fought for her rights, and she's the first female to have had a locum MP, so someone who stepped in and did her constituency work for her when she was on maternity leave.
What about the maternity leave entitlements to TDs here in the Dáil? What are they at the moment, Catherine? What are women entitled to?
Well, they're non-existent. Do you look for a sick note? And I always remember in my first year there, Niamh Smith, had her first baby, and she had to apply for, a sick note to look after her newborn baby. Like it's pretty outrageous to think, in this day and age, that it's not being recognised. Surely there's a way around it, and we can look across the waters at what's been done there.
But TDs are still paid during maternity leave, aren't they? They still get their salary.
You're paid, but you're expected to turn up in the Dáil, and you are expected to do your constituency work. So that's why the model that Stella Creasy did in the House of Commons may be something we should look at. She got additional pay to pay someone to cover her constituency work, and then the proxy vote worked for her votes in the House of Commons.
Would that cause difficulty then, though, at election time, maybe if somebody was taking over your role during your maternity leave, would that perhaps maybe take from your votes at election time?
Well, that will always be at the back of your mind, because it's the visibility in your constituency is key. But I think would just give relief for those, the first 12 weeks even of where sleepless nights, or where you may be concerned about your baby, especially if you're a first time mum. The first 12 weeks are pretty precious and pretty daunting, actually. So
female TDs also, Catherine, have the added pressure of, I suppose, comments on how they might look or what they might be wearing. Have you ever had sexist comments, I suppose, levelled at you since taking over as a TD, and have you found that aspect difficult?
I guess we all have. Yeah, I'd have comments about my appearance or how I a look on my face, how they might perceive that or interpret it, or the language of harsh voice, shrill voice, cold-hearted woman. This is the sort of language is used by women in general, and yet it's seen with a man as being powerful and the type of person that you want to represent you. But it's used as criticism when it's a woman in politics. So that can be difficult. Yeah.
You made history as the first female TD to speak in the House of Commons about women's rights. What was that like?
That was an extraordinary privilege. It was to mark the centenary of women's suffrage. Women from all around the world, one woman from each parliament was selected, and the British ambassador chose me because I was the founder and chair of the Women's Caucus. And to be honest, it's only when I sat down after speaking that I realised gosh, I think I was the first female TD to ever speak in the House of Commons. And, you know, it was an extraordinary privilege because obviously I was thinking of Markovitch. And we'd heard stories, there was an exhibition there of, you know, up until I think before 1834 in the House of Commons, women actually peered in through the ventilator shafts in the ceiling to look down at the men. And they had an exhibition which, you know, it helped replicate that, where you could actually peer down and see what they could see, like the tops of the heads. But to speak on about the caucus and to speak about women's rights and to meet women from around the world was fantastic.
Can I just step away from politics for a moment, Catherine? And obviously we know we're in the middle of a pandemic. Every aspect of society has been affected. Mm-hmm. But one of the issues that has been spoken about recently is the fact that men can't go to any maternity appointments with their partners. Do you think that needs to be changed now, or what's your opinion on that?
Yeah, no, we need to look at that. And I know my colleague, the Lord Mayor of Dublin, Hazel, she has done a lot of work in the Dublin hospitals, but in trying to address that issue. But it needs to be nationwide. I you know, personally speaking, as a mum, I liked having my husband by my side. I'd long labours just to have someone there. But even for the scans, for the first pregnancy, it's so petrifying and exciting all at once, that first scan. So to have your partner by your side, or, you know, someone there to support you, I think is critical. The pandemic is so isolating and lonely in its nature. Surely we shouldn't make this special occasion, but special that can be scary as well, anymore, you know, a lonely occasion. And so I'd like to see that addressed.
Just before I let you go, ambitions and looking to the future, Catherine. You have leadership ambitions for the Green Party. We know you went up against Eamon Ryan. But where do you see yourself now in the future?
Well, to be honest, I'm the type of person that takes one step at a time. Like I joined the Green Party just to take part in a political party and ended up working my way up. I had no great plan when I joined the Green Party to become. I never actually imagined I'd be elected. That wasn't the plan per se. So I'm sort of a one day at a time. My full focus on the minute is on my ministerial brief, because it's all so interconnected, and it's, you know, a lot of people I'm representing are on their knees, and in many ways were the first to be affected and would be the last to get back to normality. So my focus is on that rather than my personal ambitions. But, you know, I did go for leader, and I'd always, you know, consider going for that again. I also think that's a duty as well, that I would never say no. Because I want women, and if girls are listening to this, mm-hmm. to say, yeah, of course I'll consider it. And, you know, the sky's the limit. And I think that's part of the positive messaging that we should be giving to young girls out there. Anything's possible and you can do it.
OK, well, on that note, I think that's a good place to end. But thank you so much, Catherine Martin, for joining us on the podcast today. Well, that's it for this special edition of Your Politics podcast. If you like the podcast, you can subscribe or leave a review. But for now, thanks for listening.